Good morning, Rabboisai! Ah! Lili Nishmasim Bimu Rossi Rusmas Mordechai. Today's shiur is sponsored by Schus Refuah Shleima Bocher Daniel Ben Masha Hinda, 17-year-old brother and friend, Refuah Shleima, by Meir Planko. Mazel Tov to NDY Toronto Chabura and the entire NDY Mishpacha on the Siyum. Thank you to Reb Aryeh Blau and family for hosting the Siyum. Thank you, Reb Eli, and the whole team. Also by Shlomo Lazarian for Yosef Chaim Shweki for joining the MDY family. Wow, we know Chaim. He lives here. In, how does
he's the son-in-law of Smoke and Teas.
But we need a guy from Los Angeles to get a guy here on Rapid Shemesh. Bush of a harpa, you guys. Boys, I just want to say, I don't know, Gershon, if you could zoom in over here to my left. There's a brand new shas right next to me. Donated by Official from Official Catering. Here it is, just came in last night. So Yishkoyach. Rabbi said, this is what it looked like in Queens last night. A very nice turnout for the Siyum in Queens. Rabbi said, it's getting better in Chicago. It's getting better. Here we go. Very nice showing in Chicago. But Be'ezer Hashem, I'm going to take this as a personal project. I'm going to make sure this is double next Siyum, Be'ezer Hashem. Yeshukayach, Chicago. I see Marty Dauber, Dr. Marty Dauber made the Siyum. So for the very first email of the Masechta, I want to show you, this is Reb Moshe Hirsch. And there's a story to this picture. He does the Or HaMerkaz, our newsletter, puts a lot of time into it. So he says, first of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a part of such an amazing shiur. So during Pesach, he had a very hard time keeping up with the daf. And he did the Siyum with us on Wednesday. And just yesterday, he did his own Siyum on Mesachas Pesachim because he kept the idea, since he had a wedding in America, you do the daf that everybody's doing and catch up later. I don't think I've ever felt this way by a Siyum. Last night I made a Siyum on Sukkah, but tonight my Siyum on Pesachim was different. I've waited so long to make the Siyum, Pesachim. You know, we did Yuma, Shkol maybe between. Waiting for the opportunity to finally say the Hajjan on it. Thank you, Rebelli. No words can express the Akar Zatayv I and my wife have towards you. Yishkoyach, Reb Moshe Hirsch. There's a ton of emails that came in yesterday. Here's some of them. I didn't even print out all of them. I'm not going to get through all of them, obviously. The ones with the pictures come first, obviously. Here's a picture, this center guy. Really enjoy the share every day. I'm proud I finished my first Masechta with MDY. Looking forward to finishing many more. Rafal Posen. Obviously, he's from London. Here you can see the London, the L-O over here. So, Yishkoyach, Mazel Tov to you. Here's a beautiful email. It says like this. Iron Man and Daf Yomi. I've been listening and enjoying this shiur for the last few weeks, motivated to continue learning Daf with you. After I heard the great Maisa, okay, after I started listening to your shiur, I read an article in Mishpach about you. It seems like you like being out of the box and setting big goals. I recently set a huge, big, hairy, audacious goal for myself to complete an Ironman 70-mile, 70.3. This consists of 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike ride, and a 13-mile run. I am a firm believer that if you set your mind to do something, you can achieve it. Now listen to this, Rabbi. On Sunday, I completed my first Ironman. Mazel tov. It's a huge accomplishment. After a three-hour drive home, so after everything, he runs and swims, and he drives 3 hours home. I wanted nothing more than to take a hot shower and go to bed. However, the daf was waiting for me. Your geshmak hashir got me through a very tough day, and I'm not sure I would have been motivated enough to do it on my own. So yashar koyach, the mussar is that if we can do crazy gashmis things like an Ironman, then we could also do the hard ruchnis things like learning the daf every day. There's nothing that is impossible. Wishing you atzlach and oyev eis hakodesh, Eli Shochet, CFP. I call him the Iron Shas Man, and here he is, Eli Shochet, at the finish line. Beautiful. What? I don't know. Let's see what it says. He wants to know if you're from Toronto. 416, is that a Toronto number? Yeah. You want his number? You know him? He's a little guy with a lot of muscle. A lot of people know you. It's a small world. The shiur makes the world a lot smaller. Nachman Song, Dov Harris. Nachman Song is truly awesome. One question, must I listen to it at 1.5 times speed like I do for the shiur? Thanks, Ravelli, for all the Shalom Aleichem.
Kind of funny. Do whatever you
want. Ravelli, thank you, Sir Ravelli, for all the Shalom Aleichem. And Shalom Aleichem, the hundreds of new UK signups to this year. I hope he's not exaggerating. Warmly, Dove Harris, London, UK. Hundreds. This one, I'm just going to go run through these emails. This is a long one from Jonathan Polier. Polier. Jonathan Polier, not Pollard, Polier. This is first Siyum, and he's 45 years old. Mazel Tov to the MDY Lakewood Siyum as well. Saw a picture over there with Ellie Trapper. Gets a Mazel Tov, became uncle again. Hello, Rebelli. Amazing music video of Nachman Seltzer's song. Thank you, Yosef Billy and Chaim Snow. I also want to thank you for your advice. I'm falling behind with the daf. When I fell behind, I just did that day, these daf, and that gave me more drive to want to make up the missing dafim. Moshe Rifkin. By Adam Austin. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Rebelli. I recently listened to your amazing daf Yomi Shurim Shikoyach. Another great catchphrase is, you don't go through the daf Yomi, the daf goes through you. You don't go through daf Yomi, the daf goes through you. Have a great day. Adam Austin. I wonder if he's related to the Austin brothers. This is Moshe from the Midwest. Big Talmud Chacham. I've been zoich to sit and learn for many years. Spent my days delving into the deepest sugyas of Shas. I wanted to do daf yomi for a number of reasons. To be together with the tzibur, to be able to have a basic view of the mesechtes, to have a lighter limud. Rebelli, I recently found your shir. I love the ruach. Mazel tov, MDY, big siyum in Miami. Where's the pictures in Miami? Yeah, Yishvach Ascender. I love the ruach. Hearing you give, I didn't show any picture of Miami yesterday. I thought I did, maybe not. Hearing you this year gave me such a cheshek to give time for learning the blot simple. You hear, this is a guy that learns all day, but now he has a cheshek to do daf yomi. All right, so Yishkoyach Ramosha from the Midwest. Jay Nathanson, two gifts. His son Yedidi just began Aschol's Gemara in fifth grade. He watched him do the daf, so now he became the Talmud HaShavua in Elul Metzias. I want to welcome two new recruits. Again, if anybody has a karas hatov to the shir, just bring another person. So here, he brought two gifts. One of them, he has a schus to be learning with from the beginning of Beitza several times, failed attempts at learning this mesechta together. His name is Evan Honigsfeld, here in Woodmere. He's a real estate manager in an apartment in Alexander, Miami Beach. That's where my shver owns an apartment. And right across from Alexander is our house, across the water, directly across from the Alexander. The other is Chaim Wolfish of Baltimore, New York. So Yishkoyach. What's going on with Baltimore? How come they don't have Siyumim? You sure you got to do something in Baltimore? And one more, Mendy Deblinger. The Tiferes Yisrael has a really great pshat. If it's Beitza or Beya, it's worth checking it out. P.S. I took the heat trying to recruit someone to the shir. I didn't think it would actually get anyone, but I succeeded. I got one of my friends to join. After just one shir, he's hooked. Shkoyach. Thank you so much for all the time and everything making the shir. You understand? Tziv chasim toiva. Mendy Deblinger. And another one. David Address loves Nachman's song. And coming from a guy that was Mechaber songs for us already. It has the makings of all the greats like MDB, Fried, Dax, etc. David Address. Shkoyach David. All right, here we go. We are on the bottom of Dav Beis, Amud Beis, approximately eight lines up. I just want to do a quick review of what we learned yesterday. It wasn't the easiest of sugyas. Real quickly, we're going to go through this 2-3 minutes, and you'll have a much clearer understanding of what's going on. The Mishnah says that an egg that was laid on Yontif, according to Beis Hillel, is usher to eat. He's machmer, usher to eat it. You could eat it the following day after Yontif, but not on Yontif. The Gemara gives us four reasons, four pshatim in the machloikis. Does anybody remember all four? No, because we didn't learn all four. We learned only two. First pshat is, it goes according to Rav Nachman, this pshat, and there are two types of chickens, actually. There's a chicken that you grow to eat, and there's a chicken that you have to lay eggs. Rav Nachman is the only one out of the four that says it's a chicken that lays eggs. And therefore, there's a concept of mukta. You have no intent of eating this chicken because he's there to work. He's a workhorse. She produces eggs. So Mela, it's mukta. But Beis Hillel say it's mukta only on Yontif. They have a concept, they differentiate between Yontif and Shabbos. Yer Nachum. between Yontif and Shabbos. Why? Because Yontif is, there's a kula to it. We cook on Yontif. So people take it easy on Yontif. They might touch it. So we make zeris and we say this muktzah. And therefore we still say, this egg is muktzah. You know, not only does it come from a muktzah chicken, but it's even worse. It's noilat. It was created now. It's worse. But that's only in Shabbos. And we bring a raya from a Mishnah that if a beam falls off a ceiling on Shabbos, you can't, on Yontif, you can't use it. It's muktzah. You can't put it in the fireplace. But that's on Yontif. On Shabbos, on the other hand, there's no muktzah, say, Beis Hillel, according to Rav Nachman. Why? Shabbos is chomer. So for instance, if you have fish bones on your table, you have pitzuchim that are mamish muktzah, not really for achilas kelev, you just take it with your hand, you scoop it up with your hand. There's no muktzah on Shabbos, say, Beis Hillel. According to Bishami, there would be muktzah, you'd have to flip over the table. That is, 1 minute, let me go fly through this. I told everybody 2-3 minutes. Let's do it in 2-3 minutes, then afterwards. So, the Gemara asked the Kasha on Rav Nachman, and that's the reason why these three don't hold over Rav Nachman. If the problem is muktzah, so then why is the Mishnah, the first word in the Amar Masechta, beitza, say tarnagoilas. A tarnagoilas that's there to lay eggs is muktzah. Why are you talking about an egg? Talking about the chicken? Okay. Then comes Rabbah and says, the problem is hachana. And that, in fact, seems like the halacha. The riff only talks about Rabbah. Doesn't talk about any of the other shitas. It's called the hachana of the Rabbah. The problem is the preparation. The egg, we're talking about only a yontif that fell out on a Sunday. It fell out on a Sunday. The egg was created inside the chicken on Shabbos. And there's an isser to create from Shabbos to yontif. And from yontif to Shabbos. So what about a yontif in the middle of the week? So, here, if the yontif is on the red circle, it's a problem because the egg was created on the blue circle. But what if the egg was created on the green circle? There's no Shabbos before it, should be mutter. Gzeira. This ought to this. Okay, so that's basically where we are holding. What was your kasha?
On Shabbos, are we allowed to eat an egg that was born on Shabbos?
No, that's the good shaila right now.
No, according to the first...
ברוך אתה אדוני נורי לרם לכל יום שהכל נהיה בדברוי. Whoa! Oh, you're saying because according to that, muktzah on Shabbos. I hear. I have to think about it. Okay. Zok to Gemara. Shabbos the Alma Tishteri. Ask the Gemara, your kasha, but on a different mandama. Shabbos the Alma Tishteri. Could you eat a raw egg on Shabbos? And by the way, I have a shiloh for you. Question, riddle. Not a riddle, question. What is an egg? Is an egg a liquid or a solid? Halachically. What's an afkamina? Afkamina, how much do you have to eat in order to make a bracha achrayna? Do you have to eat a kezayis? Or do you have to eat a kebeza? A revius. Very nice, a kebeza. Zeir Shane. Ayim Kippur. Meloy Lugmav. Or Kisev Sagasa. What is it? If you're a chazan and you drink a raw egg, and that's what we're talking about, on Shabbos. How do you eat an egg on Shabbos? You can't cook it on Shabbos. You eat it raw. You're a chazan. You need it. So, that we're going to see actually in today's sugya. Is it a salad or... Yeah. Is it a salad or a liquid? Fine. Ask the Gemara. Shabbos, the Alma Tishteri. So then what's the problem on Shabbos? If the whole problem is achana, you're telling me the problem is on a yontif that fell out on a Sunday. And the egg was created in the blue on Shabbos. So what about Shabbos itself? The egg was created on a Friday. So what's the problem to eat the egg on Shabbos? It's not a problem of achana. There's no achana on Shabbos. According to Rabbi, it shouldn't be a problem. Says the Gemara, Gzeira Mishum Shabbos Achri Yontif. You have a problem. What happens if Shabbos falls out? Yontif was on Friday. And of course, you cannot be making according to Rabbi. You can't prepare from a Friday to a Shabbos if there's a yontif on Friday. And maybe you'll have to make a gzeira. Umigazrinon, do we make such gzeiras? Otanya. Hashoich, this is Tarni Goyle, so much about Beitz and Gemurois. Person shechs a chicken. Opens up the chicken, finds complete eggs. Now, if the egg comes out on yontif, we said it's aser to eat the egg. But what about if you shecht, you're allowed to shecht on yontif, oichel nefesh, you're allowed to shecht a chicken on yontif to eat, and you find inside a full egg, you're allowed to eat the egg, mutar is lachem yontif. V'misa, and if you're correct, you start making Xeris, this, because of this, even in a case where Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week, I'm making Xeris to here, I'm making Shabbos Xeris to there. So, make Xeris on this egg that you found inside a chicken. V'misa, what about a chicken that lays an egg? That's Aser. So if a chicken doesn't lay the egg, you killed it before it laid it, it should also be Aser. The Gemara says, the famous Yisoid, Rabbanon, don't make Xeris on things that are not common. It's not common to find a complete egg in the chicken because the egg would just leave the chicken if it was complete. So to find one like that is very uncommon. Fine. Now, we're going back to this. Spoke about Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman says that Basil say the egg is also on Yontif because of Muktzah. Rabbi says it's because it's prepared on Shabbos. Only in that case. And now we're talking about Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchok, who say almost identical things. They're very, very similar. Rav Yosef says the reason is Gzeirim Shum Peris Anoishrim. This egg looks like a fruit that fell off a tree, a fruit that falls off a tree on Shabbos is Aser to eat. So, Memela, goes like this. Here's a fruit that fell off a tree. You're not allowed to eat a fruit that fell off the tree. Asks Abaya, why? Because you might come to pick it off the tree. Picking off the tree is Koitze Issa Deraisa. So this is Aser. And because this is also Aser. A chicken laying an egg, it's like a fruit falling off a tree. Looks similar. It's not the same thing. There's no Issa Tzira by each. But it looks. Abaya, Paris Anoishrim, time of my top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Gzeira, Mishum Shemo Yalav Yitlosh. Perhaps you might come and pick a fruit off the tree. Ask Abaya, Higu for Gzeira, Vana Nekum Venigzar, Gzeira Gzeira. And we're gonna go two steps away and say, this is Aser? Now I wanna stop it for a second, and Tosis points out a beautiful question. Why is it Aser to pick fruit on Yontif from a tree? We're talking about Yontif here. Why is it Aser? It's Eichel Nefesh. I'm allowed to kill a chicken on Yontif. I'm allowed to make a fat, I'm allowed to cook on Yontif. So I can't pick an apple off a tree on Yontif. Rabbi said, you're allowed to pick an apple off a tree on Yontif. I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? You're allowed to? You're not allowed to. It's Eichel Nefesh. No. You think the Taisus takes it back? I mean, no, you're allowed to. No, you're not allowed to. What's the difference? Says Taisus beautifully. If you look all the way at the end, where it becomes very, very wide, and the Taisus, two lines down, and Taisus says, "Al came Peter Rabbeinu Nisanal Mekinoin, Dibshalmi Yesh." It says in the pasuk, "Achasher Yiachal Lachol Nefesh V'Samach Lein." The pasuk right next to it, "Ushmartim Misam Matzois." Oisa Melachis Shemeshimur Ve'Elachim Mutarais. The only thing that's allowed in Yontif, a big yisoid in Halacha for Yontif. From this Taisvus, the only thing that's mutter to be mechal yontif, so to speak, on yontif for food, is from lisha on, kneading the bread, because in the pasuk it says matzois and it says shimur. Great, so we know new yisod. You can't do all lamentas melachas on yontif in order to get to the food. Okay, big yisod. You can't. Right, you cannot make challah on yontif. You have to have the dough, the lisha part, and then you could braid it and put it in the oven. But you cannot make it, says Yosef, my twin, on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Kula, this is an unbelievable teretz, Kula chodek zeirehi. So if we're looking, what did I do with it? Says the Gemara, no, you have it wrong. It's not pshat that this is the gzeira, and because of this, I made another gzeira. When Chachamim made the gzeira, they said, chickens are included. Anything that drops out of a tree, out of an animal, out of a chicken, is also because somebody might come to do this. It's all within the same language. It's all within the same gzeir. Not that it is the same and acts the same, but it's within the same language. Now, we have another pshat. It's literally almost word for word, but it's different. Yitzchak Amar, the fourth pshat. Gzeir Mishum Mashkin Shizavu. We're concerned a chicken laying an egg is similar to liquids that come out of a fruit. And you're not allowed to squeeze a fruit on Shabbos. It's a toldah, says Rashi, of dash, of separating the chaff from the wheat. So you're not allowed to do that. It's a toldah. And memela, this looks like liquids that come out of a fruit. There's an egg that comes out of a chicken. The same idea. The problem is that you might come to do dash, you might do a total of dash of squeezing. Again, you're going two steps away. Pretend I have a picture here of schita and liquid just coming out by itself. So this would be liquids coming out by itself, not over here. Liquids coming out by itself because you might come to squeeze. Says Gemara, kula chad gzeirah. When they instituted and they said, you can't use any liquids that came out of a pre, out of a fruit by itself. Forget about you squeezing it. They said, even a chicken, even an egg that comes out of a chicken, you're right, it's very different, but it's within that gzera. It's within that language. Says the Gemara, kulo, now you know why I made this chart. Kulo ki Rav Nachman le'yamri. These three don't say like Rav Nachman, who says the problem in our Mishnah is mukta, an egg. On Yantiv is Mukta, but they still say just on Yantiv there's a problem Mukta. On Shabbos there's no Mukta. Why? Kikushyan. The question that all three had on Rav Nachman was, if the problem is Mukta, why are you talking about the egg that came out of a chicken? Talk about the chicken itself. It's a chicken that's there to lay eggs. I didn't emphasize enough when we were learning it. Rabbah is talking about a chicken that's for food. All these are talking about chicken for food. Rav Nachman is the only one that says it's a chicken that's there to lay eggs. And since it's there to lay eggs, I liked it. Now you have the cartoon. He's there for food. Because no, he's alive. Listen, I was looking for a chicken that's alive, that's about to die and be food. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't just get a chicken that's dead. That's a dead chicken. A live chicken that's oimed la'achila. Here, I found a semi-decent. He's kind of scared, this guy.
It's a little late.
Why is it late?
It's a little late.
He's cooked. How's he scared? What are you saying? He's not cooked. Would you eat this? Is this Abraham and Achai? Okay, so it's perfect. It's a perfect picture. Exactly. What?
It's a picture of laying an egg.
No, it's not. No. They're not scared. Zokting more. They thought it's a chicken laying an egg going into labor. No. Why would it be on a plate? Chach Michelin we have here in this year. We have, unbelievable. We got to replace some of these guys here. Says the Gemara, Kirab le'yamri hachana les lehu. Okay, so now why do these three not go like the blue rabbit who says the problem is that you can't prepare on Shabbos? Because they don't hold of it. They don't hold that you're not allowed to prepare from Yontif to Shabbos. Shabbos to Yontif. And it's natural kind of preparation. Elo Rav Yosef, my time alone with Yitzchok. So Gemara understands that these two, Rav Nachman and Rabbah, don't want to get involved. It looks like squeezing an orange. You might come to pick an apple off a tree. Okay, they don't want it. But these two are so similar. One says you might come to pick an apple. One says you might come to squeeze. So why don't they say like each other, asks the Gemara? There must be a good reason. Elo Rav Yosef, my time alone with Yitzchok. Oh my Lord. Beitza uchla, upeirois uchla. You hear what the Gemara says? That answers my question that I asked before about a guy eating an egg on Shabbos. Is an egg a liquid or a salad? Says the Gemara, beitza uchla. Egg is a salad. So you'd have to eat a keseves agas on Yom Kippur, not a meloy lugmav, like liquid. Or in order to make a bracha achrayna, you have to eat a kezayis of an egg, not a revius of an egg. Very important for those chazanim out there.
No, it's machloket between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchok.
Okay, but I think that's how we pass. Amalach beitz ochla, upeirois ochla, la'apukim mashkin, the lav ochla. So, Rav Yosef, why is he not concerned with liquids? It's looks like, because an egg is not liquid. You can't compare an egg coming out of a chicken to liquids that come out of an orange. It's not a liquid. You're talking about two different things. It's a solid. Okay, fine. Now, Rabbi Yitzchok, my time, Elohim, Rabbi Yosef. Now, Rabbi Yitzchok, why did he say the problem is that it looks like a fruit falling off a tree? Alach beitza belua umashkin bluim. The egg is within a chicken, and the liquids are within the fruit. La bugi peirois the megalu kaima. But when a guy goes up a tree, here's the fruit. It's right there in front of him. So there's no connection between an egg and fruit. That's why I'm not geyser. I'm not choishish for somebody picking an apple off a tree. It has no connection to an egg that's with inside a chicken. Says Gemara after Rabbi Yochanan Sofek Zerim Mishum Mashkin Shizavu. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, the final opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, that has to do with liquids. So listen to this thing. Very interesting Gemara. The Rabbi Yochanan Rami, the Rabbi Yuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Umishani. Because you see from a contradiction that Rabbi Yochanan had, you see what was going through his mind. You see that the only thing that Rabbi Yochanan was thinking about over here is that there's a problem of schita, of squeezing. It says in the Mishnah, you're not permitted to squeeze fruit on Shabbos. Let's say, take a lemon and give it a little squeeze for your fish. It's also on Shabbos. And if you have a little lemon juice that came out by itself, was sitting in the refrigerator and it came out, also to use on Shabbos. If it's for food, then it's mutter. Depends what you want it for. Now, what is an egg? What's an egg? Since an egg is not for squeezing, so obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds that an egg is food. Okay? So there's no gzeira according to Rabbi Yehuda of mashkim. You're not going to confuse an egg with liquids. Alma. So ask Rabbi Yochanan, Alma kol oichlin l'Rabbi Yehuda uchlu divrasu. See from here that all food, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is just breakaway. Let's say I cut a slice of bread and there's crumbs on the table. Is that liquid that came out? If I cut an orange and I want it for food and a little juice came out, it's not juice, it's part of the orange I was cutting. Pieces came out. Vermino, but I'm asking a question. V'oidam Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. This is very interesting that we're going to be discussing Rosh Hashanah here and there, popping. Rosh Hashanah is coming up any day, and we're talking about Rosh Hashanah all the time. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are two gedushas, meaning they're two separate individual. It's a sveik of the yayma. I don't know if the first day is yantif. I don't know if the second day is yantif. The other way to look at it is, we'll see on Amud Beis, it's one long day. It's 48 hours of yantif. I don't care if the whole world knows that the moon came out and Rosh Chodesh is over here and today is Rosh Chodesh, today is Rosh Hashanah. Because the whole concern is, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh are the same day, so other people won't know about it, even in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody knows about it. It doesn't matter. Rosh Hashanah is 48 hours. Why? It's one long day. Review the holds, no. It's 24 hours, and the second day could be completely weekday. Or the first day is completely weekday, and the second day is Yontif. If so, he says like this. I'll just say about that. We know that you have to take Trumas and Maisras from this over here. Trumas and Maisras from all your fruit. Now, what are Trumas and Maisras? Now, here's another email I didn't have a chance to read. It says like this. I recently rearranged my desk to make it conducive to learning. You'll notice three crucial things. The Gemara open, tip, use a binder clip to keep it open. And your Trumas and Maisers chart in the background, constantly reviewing the basics can be really important. And yes, you in the bottom right corner of the right monitor. Keep up the amazing work. Noach Kaplan from Oak Park, Michigan. Here's the picture. Look what he has here. Right over here. Okay? It's better than a picture of me in the sukkah. Tumen Taira. Okay, so the guys that heard a few shiurim, they know this chart about Peh. And Tumen Taira, when we come to these kind of sugyas, they say, oh, like Marty Dauber from Chicago says, when he sees Tumen Taira, and Trumas and Maisras, oh, now it's an easy sugya. Easy. We're not going into the sugya today. I'm just bringing it because I got the cool email. But anyway, if you have a bunch of fruit, you take 2% and give it to the Kayan, and you take whatever's left over from the 98%, you take 10% and give it to the Levi. That's Truma and Maisra. Forget about this. Then the Levi has to take 10% for his own 10% and give it to the Kayan, and you give 10% to yourself. Great. We're not going into that. But what happens is, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't take Trumas and Maisras. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what if you forgot to take Trumas and Maizras? Your wife comes and then says, okay, make a Yiratan on the pomegranate. Oh, I forgot to take Trumas and Maizras. Now what do you do? So on the first night, you don't have an Eitzah. There's nothing to do. But for the second night, says Rabbi Yehuda, you can make it tonight. On the first night, you take the pomegranate and you say, if tonight is Yontif, Hashem, forgive me. I didn't mean to say what I'm about to say. I'm saying it's Trumas and Maizras. But if today is not Yontif, today's a weekday, so my Trumas and Maizras work. Today's just a regular Tuesday. And if tomorrow is Yontif, so you do the same thing on both days. And in Manavshach, you could eat the fruit. Because if the first day is a weekday, so my Trumas and Maizras worked on the first day. And if the second day is a weekday, so the Trumas and Maizras worked on the second day. So you do it either way. Here it is inside. The only day you could eat is on the second day, of course, not on the first day. Because the first day might be Yontif, and then you're not allowed to take Trumas and Maizras on Yontif. He says, and so too, an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So either the first day is Yontif, so you can't eat it, but you can eat it on the second day, because the second day is a weekday. And if the second day is Yontif, you're allowed to eat an egg that was laid Erev Yontif, that's okay. Says the Gemara, but you see from here that Rabbi Yehuda has a problem with eggs. A second ago you said Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have any problem with eggs. Eggs is food, and there's no gzeira of schita. You hear what's going on here? It's so poshut and gevaldik. Gemara is a contradiction. It seems like Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of schita. And if he doesn't hold of schita, of gzeira of schita, so then why can't you eat an egg on Yontif? Well, there's three other reasons here. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that the problem is mukta. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds the problem is achana. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds the problem is that you might come to pull an apple off a tree. No, Rabbi Yochanan is not concerned with any of these reasons. Rabbi Yochanan is just thinking one thing. How come there's no problem of schita? And he has the contradiction. Rabbi Yochanan answers, Mukhlef Sashita. He had such a bomb question. How could it be that Rabbi Yehuda starts off saying that eggs don't have schita and therefore you're allowed to eat them on Yontif? And then all of a sudden he says, you can't eat it on Yontif. Could you eat an egg on Yontif according to Rabbi Yehuda or not? Over here it says, he brings the diuk, you cannot eat an egg on Yontif. Basheni, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah you could. But on the first day you can't eat an egg. What could possibly be the reason? Rabbi Yehuda says himself, there's no schita. An egg is solids, and there's no connection between an egg that's a solid to somebody squeezing out an orange. But he says, you can't eat an egg on... So you see from here that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the main problem of an egg, on Yontif, is squeezing. Otherwise, if he didn't hold that, he wouldn't have this contradiction. End of the story. Dav Gimel Amud Beis, turning another sponsorship by Shlomo Lazarian from Los Angeles in honor of my wife, who allows me to prepare for the shiur a few hours a day. Sponsored also by the MDY Tehillim Group for all those who need Shiduchim, Refuas, and Yeshuas, please join tehillim.amen.com. By the way, Shlomo Lazarian and whoever put that out there, it's $1,000 to say shkoyach to my wife. I really appreciate it. Ravina Omar, top of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Loi lam loi teibach, you're asking me a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yochanan said that there's a difference between, that you have to flip. It's not Rabbi Yehuda. It's not even Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda actually says that eggs are okay. Loi lam loi teibach. Rabbi Yehuda devrem der Rabbanon kamar lehu. Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says there's no gzera of mashkim on an egg. But he's talking to Rabbanon. I say an egg is a salad, and if it's a salad, there's no gzera of the schita. There's nothing to do with schita, with ringing out a... You can't ring out an egg. It's a salad. Just like you can't ring out a steak. There's no chshash. There's no gzera. But I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, Chacham. I allowed you to eat the egg even on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It's just solid food that came from a solid animal. It's another piece of the animal. By the way, I saw a wild Chassam Sofer. He says that an egg, a lot of people are mechulek on him, an egg is Eiver Menachai. It's a part of the chicken. Uchla dofrusu. It's a piece of a food. And the food, guess what, is alive and well. A whole nafkemina would be, could a guy eat it? They're mechuyev in Shabbos minutes of noyach of every menachai. The Torah gave us permission to eat it. A whole. They hold it's what do they hold? That it's part of a chicken? They hold it's okay, I don't know what they hold. Never got into it. We'll ask our vegan friends one day.
Yeah, vegan
friends. Many. The Shir has great friends. One of the biggest supporters of the Shir is vegan.
Is it MDY vegan group?
No, there isn't. Wow.
Vegan
Seum
coming soon.
Vegan Seum. I think that's what's going on in Chicago. It's a vegan Seum. Nobody wants to show up over there. All right. Lididiya filibarishinami sharia. How come you don't agree to me that on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, you should make a memarafshach? You should allow an egg. The steak dusha zain. You hear? How come you don't say? Now, by the way, the level of the shir is going down now because Mechavrus has just walked in and he listens to every word and he gives me a RS later. Okay. Avi, do me a favor, tell him. But according to you, don't you agree that Rosh Hashanah is considered to separate days, it's a sveik of the yayma, one day is 100% weekday, and if it's 100% weekday, you should be able to eat the egg on the second day, mimman avshach. Rabbanon come along and they say, no! It's not a sveik of the yayma. We hold it's one long kedusha, and that's it. Okay, so we see interesting, so many yisaydas on this one daf, so many ideas that we didn't see, we don't know. Rosh Hashanah could be one long kedusha. It's coming up. How do we view Rosh Hashanah 2 days in Eretz Yisrael? Is it because in America they do it 2 days and that's why we do it? Or no, it's supposed to be 48 hours. Ravina Mary the Rabbi Lo Amar, Hokhbat Aaron Goyles Hoymez Legadl Beitzim. Another pshat. You hear this pshat? Very simple. You know why Rav Yehuda answers it? Because we're not talking about the chicken on the plate that's for food and it's not muktzah. We're talking about a chicken that's there to lay eggs. It's there to lay eggs. It's muktzah, Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, right? Who's the famous one that says muktzah? Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, like we had in the first daf of Beta. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds, there is muktzah, and this chicken is muktzah, and that's why the egg is also. Meisvei. Now, we have a general question on all these shitas right here. Well, we're going to start going, picking at the shitas. Meisvei. Echa beitzah shenolda b'shabbos, v'echa beitzah shenolda b'yontov, ey mitadot v'aysah. If an egg was laid on Shabbos or Yontav, you cannot move it. The famous muktzah that we know of, you can't touch, you can't move. Right? You're allowed to, if you don't touch, if you don't move, you're allowed to use, but you're not allowed to move. You can't lift it up and use it as a cover for some vessel. So this I always found very interesting. Can an egg support a bed? For whatever reason, the guy couldn't find. Think about it. They didn't have material then. They didn't have plastics. They didn't have. He had an egg. He had a chicken that laid eggs. So he takes an egg. His bed is a little lopsided. He takes an egg, puts it under. I mean, to me, it would be like if you have a bad dream or something, you do a little flip and all of a sudden, psh, in the middle of the night, whatever. But I just this morning, I found this. I thought this was very interesting to show you. Can an egg support a human being? So here in China, they had 256 eggs that supported a car. Here it is. Beautiful job they did here. They put the eggs. I saw the whole thing. The whole video. Here are the eggs. It's all glass. You could see. They just here's the lift. And the lift just lowers the car down on the eggs. And you see the weight. 3,500 pounds for these eggs. I don't know. You do the math. 256 divided by 3. I'm sure it's not as much as a bed in a human being for one egg. But okay, maybe it's four legs. It's only one leg. Fine. What are you tying, Lauren?
Try and break an egg in one hand. Not with your fingers like that. But in your palm of your hand, try and break an egg.
I could do it. You probably can't. Yeah. No, he said Iron Man could do it. Iron Man, that's your friend Lauren Spiegelman from Toronto. Okay. Yeah, I hear. No, it's probably very difficult. I've seen people stand on eggs, different eggs, like ostrich, and that's it's impossible. Okay. So a person wants to use an egg. Wow, we're falling behind there. I'm sorry. The shir started a little late, so we're going to continue for a few minutes. You are permitted to take a vessel and put it on top of the egg. What would be the problem with that? Because you're moving a kli, l'tzorech, something that's not nitel, something that doesn't move. Fine. So now the Gemara understands that tzveika just means we don't know when exactly it was born. Was it laid on Yontif or before Yontif? And if this egg was mixed in with 1,000, they're all 1,000 are also. Now, ask the Gemara. Bish loymel Rabba, going back over here. Rabba says, Hachana. The whole problem in the Mishnah is the egg because it was created the day before on Shabbos, and we're talking about a Yontif that's on a Sunday. So the egg is also midaraisa. That's why all 1,000 eggs, you have one egg that fell in, one egg that possibly was laid on Yontif, fell into 1,000 eggs, they're all also. But these two sheets are right over here that say that it's just a gzera. You might come to squeeze an orange or you might come to pick an apple. Svegi darabani. Svegi darabani lekula. Omar lei. Seifa ason. The Suffolk Trefa. There's a cute story about the Beis Halevi, I believe. A girl came to him and said, my mother asked me, I have 4 eggs on Yontif. Can I cook these eggs? Says the Beis Halevi, tell your mom to wait until the night. Says Talmidim said, what just happened? Why can't you cook eggs? He says, why would a woman send her daughter to ask me, could you cook an egg on Yontif? Everybody knows you can cook an egg on Yontif. Because what happened was, the chicken laid an egg, and one of those eggs got mixed in the 4, and I think that's the pshat in her question, and Mamela, it's a suffix, you gotta wait until after Yontif. That's Zayzak Min HaMaisa. Okay. Yochim Seifa. If you're telling me, now what? Sorry. Says the Gemara, no, did I skip? We're not talking about whether or not the egg was laid on Yontif. We're talking about whether or not this egg came from a chicken that's a treifa. Let's say the chicken is missing its head, like in that picture. Whatever, a massive mum that it's a treifa. And it lays an egg, you're not allowed to eat that egg. And now that egg got mixed in with other eggs, what do you do? So we're not talking about Yontif here. Says the Gemara, Bamkash. Yochim is Seifa. You're telling me it's a suffix of a treifa. Nisarva Bela of Kulam Asurois. Iyam is Bishlam is Suffolk Yontif, Suffolk Chol. Have a Dover Sheishlam Atir. There's a concept of something that's going to become mutter. Now, an egg that's laid on Yontif, it becomes mutter. You just have to wait until after Yontif, you're allowed to eat it. So therefore, it's 1 out of 1,000. You have to throw them all out. This is counterintuitive, Rabbi Yisai. Suffolk treifa, which is worse, it's terrible, is more kal. Why? Because suffolk treifa, maybe this egg came from a chicken that's completely treifa. It can never be mutter. You can't wait 4 days and today you could eat it. Why could you eat it? What's today different than yesterday? An egg that was laid on Yontif. You just wait 24 hours after Yontif, you can eat it. So therefore, Tibata Baruba. And if you're going to tell me that we're talking about something significant, like an egg, and something significant does not become batal, it doesn't become nullified. There's a shaila. Do we go by things that are counted, you sell them individually. Like today, the Shach says all eggs are sold by the dozen. In the time of the Shach still. You never sell an egg by weight. It always goes by the number. Therefore, it's significant. It can never become batal. But we'll see from the Gemara, in the time of the Gemara is different. So, but it says, kol shedarki limanos and es shedarki limanos. The difference between kol and es. Kol means sometimes you sell eggs by the dozen, sometimes you sell them by the weight, whatever. But it has to be specific, only in a certain way, only when you sell it by the number, by the dozen, and no other way, like we do today, I think. I don't know any other place. There's no store that sells eggs by the way. I hope I'm right. It's only by the amount. That's S. It's only. Everywhere.
Vegan stores.
Michael Maymar. This nan. Mishoyach havili tilton shel klai akerim. Yeah, look at Rashi. Rashi says about tilton, he says fenigar. And in English it's called fenugreek. Tilton. And I guess the stalk of that is very important. Yidolku. So, klai akerim is yinalara the isur deraisa, the plant, the chamishas, the dagon in the vineyard. You're not allowed to plant certain vegetables in the vineyard. Nisarvu b'acheres, b'acheres, b'acheres. So if you have this tilton that grew in the vineyard, you have to burn it, yidolku. And if it got mixed in with other ones, kulin yidolku, divri meir, b'chacham moirim yalu b'achas musayim. No, you can get away one out of two. If it's 1 in 200, then it's okay. Sheir me'oimer, es shedarkoi limonois mekadesh. If it's something that's the only way you sell it is by amount, it's mekadesh, it makes everything awesome. Okay, we'll continue here on Matzah Shabbos. I just want to tell you a beautiful story, a beautiful chap, I thought in halacha. In a hotel, a woman took a chair in the dining room. She wanted to light her candles in the dining room of the hotel. She took a chair and put the candles on the chair and lit the candles. After the candle, an hour or two, now what does that chair become? A basis l'dava asur. It's asur to touch that chair on Shabbos, to move it. Comes the Arab, takes the candles off, he's probably upset with chutzpah, takes the chair, sets up. Comes the woman's husband, Talmud Chacham, says, Rabbi, you say, I can't sit down on the chairs in the whole dining room because one of the chairs is my wife's chair and it's basis l'dava asur and it's not batel b'raif. No, it sounds funny, but why? The Tzlach says a beautiful chapir. Davar sheyeshle matirim, and he said it's a davar sheyeshle matirim. You could sit on the chair on Matzei Shabbos, so it's a davar sheyeshle matirim. Since it's going to be a heter tomorrow, today it's also to sit on the chair. Says the Tzlach, you only say davar sheyeshle matirim like an egg. An egg, I could either eat it today or I could eat it tomorrow. So wait until tomorrow. You didn't lose anything by waiting till tomorrow. But a chair, the usage is today. I can never get back my usage today that I'm going to do tomorrow. Yes, you're going to sit on the chair tomorrow, but the 3 hours I wanted to sit on my chair today, you lost completely. So that's the Eilim Matirim. So therefore, you're allowed to use all the chairs. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, 9:30.